Found communicating with humans to be easy. Over the centuries, we angels have appeared to various individuals to deliver messages from the God of heaven. And we usually spend the first few minutes saying, "Fear not," or "Be not afraid." It's always been remarkable to me how the sun cloaked his brilliance for his journey to earth. That journey began with the fall of man, on that terrible day when the first man and woman chose to defy God's command. He promised them a savior. He promised to send the Holy Son of heaven to redeem them from their chosen path of sin. We knew when God planned to do it. He even told man through his prophet Isaiah, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And indeed it came to be. The prophet Micah told where the miraculous event would take place. "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Seeing the Holy One of heaven assume a body, devoid of his cloak of brilliant glory, was a sight I could not tire of. My eyes could not fathom my master as a man. And yet, I watched it all happen. And when he was born, I was there. Truly, heaven had come to earth.
Thank you. ever ridden a donkey? If you have not, then I assure you, there's no great comfort you've missed. Our journey that first Christmas in Bethlehem, it was a journey to remember. I understand now why Joseph and I had to leave our home in Nazareth. It was for the census, but ultimately, our journey was necessary to fulfill prophecy. It had been foretold that my son would be born in Bethlehem, and so we had to go. If you know anything about our beautiful country of Israel, you'll know that our home in Nazareth was over 60 miles from Bethlehem. When Joseph first told me in soft, apologetic tones where we had to go, I could hardly believe my ears. What about Jesus? I remember Joseph smiling and assuring me that God would take care of his son and me. So we started the long trip to Bethlehem, joining the stream of people that flowed down the busy pathways. Under normal conditions, such a trip takes about 3 days, perhaps less when riding. But I was most certainly not in normal conditions. That donkey was a very patient beast, and it bore my constant rearranging and requests for rest without a struggle. I don't mean to complain, but only to explain that because of me, our trip was made unnecessarily long, and that we arrived with the stragglers into Bethlehem 4 days late after we left home. There were no rooms left, but when Joseph told me that we would be staying the night in a stable, I can honestly say it was a welcome sight. Oh, it wasn't my first choice, but I knew that my hour was close and that any measure of rest would be pleasant. And that night, our humble quarters were blessed beyond the richest rooms in the inn by the birth of the Savior. The long, weary journey had been well worth it.
The day our king arrived on earth should have been the most celebrated day in history, but it wasn't. At the very least, the Jews should have known he had come. The signs were all there. They were simply ignored. It was as if the people had forgotten Isaiah's words, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." But the God of the universe would not allow his son to come unannounced and without fanfare. So he sent us. We were sent that starry, cool evening to some shepherds, the kind of men who have a faith unsullied by the world's wealth and power. They were simple and believing. We knew that if we all sprang out of the quiet sky at once, those poor men would be overwhelmed beyond recovery. So only one of us was sent at first. His message was simple: the Savior is born. And when we couldn't hold ourselves back any longer, we burst into the sky above, a choir beaming God's radiance and singing our announcement song, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Has always been that of advisor to the king. Wise man, if you prefer. I prefer scholar. My job is to know everything that's happening in the world that I may be able to advise the king in any subject. Among my many studies, I've often read the Hebrew text. Many of them are prophetic. They speak of the coming of a great ruler, one who will bring peace to Israel. I remember those prophecies being particularly striking the first time I read them. They were so specific, so confident. Some of my fellow scholars had also noticed these texts, and we became so familiar with them that we no longer needed the scrolls on which they were written. I suppose that's where our journey began, with faith that these things that were written were indeed true. You cannot imagine our joy when we discovered the star. We often study the night sky, mapping its patterns and observing its changes. When that brilliant star appeared, we were all fully aware that it was special. It could only have been his star, the king that had been foretold. We had to see for ourselves. In just a few days, we were caravanning directly toward that beaming birth announcement for the new king. Carefully secured among our belongings were rich gifts for the young royal. And for months we followed the star. If ever I doubted the sanity of our journey, I had only to look up to ease my heart again. The day our journey ended is forever etched in my mind. I expected throngs of people rejoicing at the birth of this anticipated king. Instead, we encountered a jealous King Herod, the blank-faced scribes, who had to dig through dusty scrolls to find the very prophecies that we knew so well. No one knew about the Prince of Peace or the Mighty Counselor. So we returned to our star until all of a sudden it stopped. At last we had found the king. We approached the place reverently, and upon our knock and request to see the child, we were admitted by a man. His wife was seated nearby, and on her lap was the king we had come so far to see. We fell at his feet and humbly offered him our small gifts. I will never know why wise men from the east were told of his birth in such a miraculous way, but it was a journey that changed me forever, a journey of faith and worship.
name is Anna, and I'm sure you're asking yourself, what is that old woman doing here? Well, I am old. In fact, I don't want to tell you exactly how old I am, but it's quite all right for you to wonder why I'm here. The journey of my life story is one of patience, patience born of much waiting. When I was very young, I remember my father talking to me about the coming of Messiah. In the face of looming wars or trouble in Jerusalem, my father would comfort us with the promises of Messiah. I was impatient for him to come. If God's Messiah was going to make us all rulers, what was he waiting for? Well, when the day came for me to become a wife, I found myself blessed with a husband who lived with the future ever before him. He too spoke often of the redemption of Israel. I told you this was a journey of patience, and after several years of marriage with no children, I found that God was indeed teaching me patience. For 7 years, I watched for the Messiah alongside my husband. And then one day, I found myself looking for the king alone. When you're young, you never expect to find yourself a widow. Oh, but don't pity me. How can you pity someone who's cared for by the everlasting God? Well, it's now been many, many years since my husband's passing. And if the Lord gives me many more, well, I'll be rival to Methuselah. Rather than remarrying, I came here to the temple and devoted myself to praying for my people and the coming of Messiah. I've been blessed in my ministry as a prophetess and discovered what it means to wait on the Lord. I was praying in the temple one day when I heard a ruckus on the steps outside. It was my good friend Simeon. Simeon is nearly as old as I am, and we've had many a good talk about Messiah. And now it was Messiah he was again speaking of. And I heard him say, "Now I may depart in peace, for I have seen thy salvation." If Simeon said he had seen the salvation of the Lord, then it could only mean he had seen Messiah. I took myself as fast as I could to the sound of his voice, and coming upon him suddenly, I saw a man and his wife holding a small child. No one had to tell me that this child was Messiah. I had waited too long and prayed too hard not to know him when I saw him. How I praised God at that beautiful sight. All my years of waiting and watching have now been fulfilled, and God can take me home whenever he chooses. But what an end to my journey. I have seen him, the Messiah, who will redeem the world.
I have seen him, yes, I've seen him. I have seen the living Savior with my eyes. He's Messiah, God among us. Jesus Christ is my Redeemer, good and wise. Yet his ears on earth will quickly pass. The cross his life will claim. I have seen him, Christ my Savior, and I'll never be the same. Thank you.
For the 33 years of the Savior's life, heaven was as a man holding his breath in anticipation, silent, watchful, and waiting. We all knew what was to happen at the end of his earthly life. The Holy Son of Heaven fully intended to die for the human race. Only he had the power to undertake such a task, and nothing was more despicable could have been the object of his grace. The awe I felt as his love holds my tongue back. God crucified for man is the kind of thing that is so marvelous that words cannot express it. The hosts of the angels, myself among them, were poised and ready to fling ourselves to earth at any command from him, robed in flesh as he was. More than once we were sent to minister to him in his loneliness. Once we ministered to him after he withstood Satan's attacks. Another time we attended to him in prayer, but we were always ready for his call. On the day of the crucifixion we were ready, but he never spoke. We watched as his earthly followers betrayed and forsook him. The Pharisees took him, falsely tried him, and the soldiers beat and bruised him. When they led him to Golgotha, our swords were drawn and gleaming, our company in high passion that the Son of Heaven should be treated so. Yet the orders never came. When he died on the cross, God's wrath shook the earth, and the very light of heaven seemed to dim. The day of the great fall of man had been terrible, but the day of death for God's Son is beyond my description. Then, as now, I could not understand the love that he had had for those people. It was his whole purpose in going. A journey of 33 years ended with the destination of love.
There's one more journey that we should talk about tonight before we reach our final destination, the journey of the heart. We've heard about the distance that many people traveled, but in each case, they ended at the same place, at the feet of Christ. It doesn't matter who you are or where you've come from, but it does matter where you're going. Christ has promised to turn no one away, and there's nothing barring your way to the cross. In Romans 10:9, we read, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We invite you tonight to make that journey.
Thank you. not going to preach a sermon after that, but I do want to give you opportunity. There was part of the cantata that asked a question. If you've ever bowed your head and asked Jesus to come into your heart, and if you've never done that, then we invite you to do that now. And if we have the hymn in our book, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, if we have that, if you'll lead us in that in just a minute there. But I'd ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes, and maybe tonight, I was thinking as Miriam was singing the song, when you really see him, you'll never be the same. And the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things are become new. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, and you would like to tonight, and you would like us to pray for you, would you just lift your hand, and I'll see it, and I'll pray for you. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we want to give you opportunity to do that tonight.